Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
The upcoming elections to be held on the 29th of May have been heralded as the most important yet. Can we expect significant changes in our political landscape? And exactly who and what are the independent candidates we'll be voting for? I'm delighted to have Daniel Silk, Director of Political Futures Consultancy, to shed some light. Daniel, welcome and thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Cherise. Lovely to be with you.
Daniel, let's get into the nitty-gritty of the actual elections. Is this the first time we're voting for independence?
Yes, indeed it is. I mean, we've never been able to. The Constitution never made provision for it. We had our Electoral Act changed to include independence. I think there was a clamoring to provide South Africans with an additional choice beyond the traditional political parties. Now, we haven't gone the full way. We've made it quite difficult for independents to register. And I think many independents are now sitting on the sidelines because of the fairly onerous signature thresholds and other bits of bureaucracy that got in the way. Clearly, it wasn't really in the interests of the ANC or, frankly, the bigger political parties to encourage independents to register. So we've got a kind of limited entry of independents here and there smattered around the country.
So I know, for example, in Cape Town, there's Zaki Ahmed, and in Johannesburg, there's Anele Mda. Do they automatically stand on, do they have their own ballot paper? I mean, and how many people will you see? How does it work?
I think most South Africans are going to be very confused exactly about, you know, the ballot paper and which party or individual is on which ballot paper. The bottom line is that this time you go to vote, there'll be three ballot papers. And the second of the ballot papers, which is a ballot paper designed to include independents. So you'll get your first ballot paper, which will have all the political parties, your second ballot paper, which will have political parties and independents, and your third ballot paper, which will be the one that we've had before, which is for the provincial legislatures. So, yeah, you know, you'll get a separate ballot paper that will have the name of independents on them.
So each area will then get their own independent. And then if you vote for the independent, do they need a certain threshold again to get into parliament?
Well, obviously the threshold depends on the amount of votes cast. So it's difficult to really predict whether they would get enough votes to get themselves elected. Obviously, they would need enough votes to get themselves. There's no additional people on their party list like there would be for a political party. So it's going to be quite tough, I think, for independents, for any of the two independents you've mentioned, it'll be quite tough for them to potentially make the grade given the totality of the vote. And that was one of the reasons really why so there was criticism of the fact that this didn't make it easy for independents. After all, you can vote for an independent, but you're going to also have two additional ballot papers where you won't be voting for an independent because they're not going to be on those ballot papers. And it really makes life quite difficult for them.
So in a way, are we just paying lip service to a change of law?
Well, this is what I would call a sort of a political compromise to establish some sort of pathway to greater representativity for independents in our legislature. It's baby steps. And I think that over time, I hope that we will see a much broader change to our electoral system. You know, we've had this electoral system since 1994. I particularly like proportional representation, but there are downsides to it. And there are also downsides when you've got too many very small political parties that could be kingmakers. We've had that at local government level, and we may well get that at national government level after this election. So the electoral system needs a substantial review. The government's talking about it. It looks as though a panel is going to be appointed. But once again, you know, as the old saying goes, it's been overused. Turkeys don't vote for Christmas. And the big political parties are going to be reluctant to, you know, give up a level of control that they've had over the broader electoral process.
We're also going to get a lot of names on our ballot papers, many of which possibly we haven't heard of before. Are we spoiled for choice, or do we have just too much?
Look, I like choice, and I like the fact that there are more political parties this time than ever before. I think that's the plus side. So it's always good to have additional names represented. And if you are a diligent researcher before you go to vote, and I've no doubt all your listeners are absolutely diligent and have interrogated all the hundreds of political parties, But if you've done that, you will find one that appeals to you out of the whole lot. So on that score, it's good. But I think that for many of these parties, many of them ultimately are, to be perfectly honest, more like personality cults representing the egos of their leadership more than anything more broader or more pro-South African in the process. And I think that's the downside, is that it's relatively easy, interestingly enough, to register a political party. And that's why you've got so many of them on the ballot paper. So once again, I think the choice may be confusing for some, but in the end, South Africans are largely going to continue to support the brands and names that they know, with one or two notable exceptions.
Daniel, before we go into the brands that we know and the trends going forward, can I ask you, are South Africans being gaslighted when we are told, don't vote for a smaller party because your vote will go to waste?
Well, as we know, no vote really goes to waste when it comes to a proportional representation system. And that's kind of why I like proportional representation. In a constituency-based system, your vote really can go to waste, to be perfectly honest. So, I don't necessarily buy into that. What I think we do have, and let's just talk about what we have in South Africa, is that we are seeing a fragmentation of the bigger political parties. This applies to the ANC, and it also applies to the DA, and to some degree, it also applies to the EFF. So, from a DA perspective, and they're going to be using the argument that you make quite effectively just in the last week of this campaign. From the DA perspective, if there wasn't the fragmentation on the sort of centre, more pragmatic side of our political spectrum, those additional votes, I suppose, in DA speak, would have gone to the DA and not to Action South Africa, or not to Rise Mzansi, or not to Mr. Maimane's party, and they would have added perhaps one or two or five or 10 seats onto the DA total. And I think the DA see it from that particular perspective. From my perspective, I like the choice. I'm just sorry that you've got so much fragmentation of fairly similar political parties that ultimately spend a fair amount of their time bad-mouthing each other rather than tackling the ANC itself. And I think you have to factor in that aspect to your broader question.
So, if you vote for a party but they don't get sufficient votes to get into parliament, would that be considered a waste of vote?
Well, it would be, and it's a wasted vote in the sense that they don't make the cut in terms of getting a seat. So yes, from a larger party's perspective, if that vote would have been cast, let's say, for the DA and not for Mr. Maimane's party, the DA being the larger party could potentially have got an extra seat because they would have had a larger overhang of votes, whereas a small party like Bossa might not make the threshold. So on that basis, that vote might be wasted. But ultimately, and my view, you vote for the person that you like, and you vote for the party that resonates with you. You can be terribly strategic about it if you want to, or you can take the view that, listen, I want to vote for the guy that I like. And you make your choice based upon that.
It's very reassuring. Let's look at the brands. And as we get closer to election day, the polls seem to indicate that the ANC are getting closer to a 50% mark, whereas like maybe 2 months ago it was indicated that the ANC wouldn't get more than 43. Do you think it's, I mean, firstly, how accurate do you think the polling is? And do you think that people do, as it gets closer to crunch time, move back to identity politics?
I think as it gets closer to crunch time, voters who have been doubtful about their political home, usually the bigger parties, I think disproportionately become a little bit happier with going back to the fold or going back to the bigger party that they were originally associated with and perhaps voted for in the last few elections. So as we move in the last week of this campaign, I think the bigger parties, and I think certainly the three biggest, ANC, DA, and EFF, are going to find that their numbers, certainly in terms of the broad polls, look a little bit better over the next, let's say, over the next week. Those all parties are going to be putting what's called a squeeze on the broader electorate. They're going to be again talking about the issue of a wasted vote, about smaller parties that can't be trusted. They're going to be bad-mouthing the credibility of smaller political parties. And I think this will make certainly a sector of their traditional support return to the mothership, as I often call it. So, the polls have been all over the place. To answer the first part of your question, we've had, well, I've never seen it like this before. We've got polls that are giving some very, very disparate and divergent views of where South Africa is going to be. Some polls are showing continue even up until this day, continue to show the ANC struggling at about 45%. Other polls, as you correctly said, show the ANC, hovering a little bit upwards in the upper 40s and maybe even touching 50%. Take your pick of the polls. My view, do a poll of polls and do an average of the polls to get, your ideas to where we're going to be. If I had to make an educated guess on these polls, I would say that the ANC are going to be in the upper 40s, somewhere in the upper 40s, potentially even just touching the cusp of 50. And the DA, I think, is going to be around the very early 20s, 21, 22, 23%. But that's my thumbs up from my long nose.
Okay, so we'll be able to come back to you after the elections and get your opinion on that. Daniel, you talk about the main brands. Nobody was expecting the formation of the MK under Jacob Zuma. Do you think that'll have an impact, a huge impact on the ANC?
Yeah, there's no doubt the MK formation was the big surprise. No political pundit or talking head would have a year ago spoken about this particular prospect. It is, I think, upended all of the broad predictions about the election. And this is a crucial factor because some of the polls are putting MK support, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal, and it really is it's regionally strong in KZN. This is where, of course, Jacob Zuma has his base. And also, MK is a party that seemingly supports and has aligned itself with a more traditional Zulu outlook, or if you want to call it that. So it appeals more sectionally within the broader South African electorate rather than with crossover ethnic support. So I think KwaZulu-Natal is the battleground of this election, and how well MK does in KwaZulu-Natal will determine, because of the amount of voters in KwaZulu-Natal, will determine whether the ANC drops below 50% or whether it can still scrape through on 50%. Some of the polls that you've seen put MK as the leading party. The recent ENCA Makinor poll, which was a remarkable poll in many respects, put MK as the major political party in KwaZulu-Natal, well ahead of the ANC. I'm not as if I wouldn't be as confident as Makinor have been to put their head on the block when it comes to that particular poll. And I think MK's poll is going to be substantially down on that. But it may well be enough to firstly make life very difficult for the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal. That province is likely to fall out of control of the ANC. And if MK get a good amount of votes in KZN, that could really shift the ANC national vote down to 50 or under 50. So this is the one to watch. And the next question that you're probably going to ask me is, well, does the fact that Jacob Zuma is not going to be a parliamentary candidate or potential presidential, does this have any effect on MK support? I don't think it really does. The ballot papers are going to show Jacob Zuma's face under the MK logo on the ballot itself. Voters are well aware, especially those voters in KZN, that MK equals Jacob Zuma. And that association, whether Zuma goes into parliament now, whether he sits it out for another year or two, whether he becomes an extra parliamentary leader of a party, of which you can be, you don't necessarily have to sit in parliament and be the parliamentary leader. Those MK supporters are going to continue, I think, to stick with MK on the basis of the fact that Jacob Zuma is their man in association with that brand.
Daniel, we're talking about KZN being like an indicator, but we know kind of the elections seem to divide urban areas and rural areas. And we kind of know that places like Limpopo and Eastern Cape, Northwest are very real strongholds for the ANC. Is it important for the ANC if they hold onto these rural areas but lose votes or lose provincial hubs, economic hubs?
Well, yeah, look, the whole nature of the ANC, and you're quite right, has changed. I mean, it has become a political party that's much more based upon rural support, and I think we're going to see that emphasized in this particular election. And I think, the ANC victories in the Eastern Cape, and as you've said, Limpopo and elsewhere, are going to, push up those ANC numbers. Having said that, I mean, we've looked at the polls for Gauteng in particular, and the ANC vote, whilst down and down quite a bit, it's not dead and buried in Gauteng as a largely urbanized province. So there may well be some life pumped into the ANC just coming out of Gauteng, interestingly enough. And that's, I think, because MK doesn't have a particularly big footprint in Gauteng. Let's watch that one. But the ANC is becoming a more rurally based political party. That means that, broadly speaking, it has to answer to the interests of more rural voters. And this is a dilemma for the ANC. Your growing voter body is in the urban metropoles. There's a huge amount of urbanization in South Africa. Many of the interests of voters in a city are quite different from the interests of voters in more rural areas. And finding a balance, which has already been difficult for the ANC in terms of policy making, is going to be even more difficult after this election.
I think we've got time to just explore the topic of coalitions and how you think that's going to play out.
I
Are
doubt
you
we've got.
nervous that there was was that a nervous giggle?
Noel, I'm nervous because we never have enough time to discuss the amount of permutations that the coalition options can take after this election. I think we're going to have a very ambiguous result. We're going to get different results in different parts of the country. And I think some of the provinces are going to be particularly difficult when it comes to coalition making. At a national level, if the ANC drops below 50%, yes, it does require the cooperation or some sort of agreement with some smaller parties. If it's just a couple of percentage points below 50%, you can always find a few acquiescent political parties to lend you some support in exchange for the odd cabinet position or whatever the case might be. And I still think that's the more likely scenario of this election, that the ANC doesn't therefore require a coalition with the EFF. That would be very disruptive and damaging, I might add, for President Ramaphosa in himself. And there's no precedent also for an ANC DA or multi-party charter coalition either. So I think that the ANC will want to avoid coalitions with obstreperous, difficult political parties who will themselves want to set their own agenda within a broader coalition, and they will try their level best to find what I would call acquiescent or fairly benign political players to join those coalitions. But having said that, there's always a but, and the but is if ANC support tanks to the lower 40s, I don't think it's going to be, but let's just say it is, then the ANC needs a bigger party to coalesce with, and there are not going to be that many bigger parties. So the choice becomes more limited to the EFF, or more limited for that matter, to multi-party charter or the DA. So the coalitions are going to depend on how well the ANC does or how poorly the ANC does. I think we are going to move into a position where there will be coalitions in different parts of the country, KZN, Gauteng in particular, Western Cape could very well, the DA could fall under 50%, marginally could. It's not the Patriotic Alliance is chomping in certain elements of the Western Cape electorate. So watch the space on that. We can pontificate on that for hours.
Just as a aside to that, we're looking at ANC elections. Are you feeling confident that the multi-party coalition will not get enough to roll over 50%?
Yeah, there's no indication in any of the polls, however divergent the polls have been on the ANC or on MK. One thing the polls do agree on is that the DA looks pretty set or stuck. At its percentage levels, it's the only game in town in terms of the multi-party charter. The IFP have taken a battering in KwaZulu-Natal as a result of the rise of MK, who've taken votes from the IFP, if the polls are to be believed. And for Action South Africa and the other smaller players, I think their vote is going to be reasonably uninspiring. So, yeah, I think multi-party charter, I think, is largely stuck in the water in terms of static support levels.
It's exciting times. We urge absolutely everybody to go and vote for whoever you feel represents you best. I really like that, Daniel. But I'm hoping you'll come back within a week or two and we can just go through what actually happened.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of, as I say, ambiguity, and we'll be chatting about this one for a long time. So, with pleasure. Nice to chat to you.
Thank you very much. That was Daniel Silk, Director of Politics Futures Consultancy.